find to the top of top line of Chif Gimel Amud Aleph now. The Gemara quotes in the Mishnah that B'yom Tov Chamisha B'yom HaKippur Meshisha, that we had 5 aliyahs for Yontif, we had 6 aliyahs for Yom Kippur, and we had 7 aliyahs for Shabbos. So Masnis and Mani, who is the author of our Mishnah? So Gemara says, well, it can't be Lo Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Rabbi Kiva. It can't be either one of those, because the Tanya, the Braisa, tells us B'yom Tov Chamisha, and the Yontif there'd be 5 aliyahs, B'yom HaKippur Meshisha, there'd be 6 in Yom Kippur, for Shabbos, Shiva, and 7 would be Shabbos, which sounds right now like our Mishnah. However, the Braisa continues to say, In pochsin mehen vein posif in aleim divrei Rabbi Shmuel. You can't have any less than 7, and you can't have any more than 7. Well, our Mishnah says you're allowed to be mosif on the 7, so this is not like our Mishnah. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And it's not Rabbi Kiva either, because Rabbi Kiva holds b'yom tov chamisha, b'yom ha-kippurim shiva, u'b'shabbos shisha. He switches around that Yom Kippur actually has 7, Shabbos actually only has 6, and the loch is ein pochsin mehen, you're not allowed to make any less. Aval, what you are allowed to do is Mosif Nalein, you may add on to them. So, I think Gemara explains, well, it can't be either one. Why? Because Mani, who wrote our Mishnah, the Rabbi Shmuel, who wrote our Mishnah, who was consistent with the amount of aliyahs on each of the days, Kashi Tosefes, he says you cannot add on to Shabbos. Well, our Mishnah tells us, and the halacha is, you may add on to aliyahs on Shabbos. And the Rabbi Kiva, it can't be Rabbi Kiva either, because Kashi Shisha Vashiva, he holds there's only 6 on Shabbos, and we hold 7, and he also holds there's 7 on Kippur, we hold that there's only 6.
And we also hold that Shabbos you can add.
Right, well, I guess this most even right. That's another question also, right? He says you could add, it sounds like you could add on to Yom Kippur, but not add on to Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva does allow you to add. Unclear what he says you could add on to, though.
Right.
Okay. So Pasha says he probably says you could add on to Shabbos. Now, the Gemara, the Mefarshim want to know, what exactly is this Svar of Rabbi Kiva? We understand the Svar of our Mishnah, that's 5, 6, 7, that 6 is Yom Kippur and 7 is Shabbos, because you're going up in level, because from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, you're going from the onus for Yom Kippur is Karis, and the onus of Shabbos is Skila. Skila is a much more severe punishment. So we understand why you're going up in Aliyahs. But according to Rabbi Kiva, why is Yom Kippur a higher level than Shabbos? Why is Yom Kippur 7 Aliyahs as opposed to Shabbos only 6? So Mefarshim explained that since there's an extra tefillah, an extra Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, that indicates that's a higher, more Kedusha than that of Shabbos. Either way, the Gemara wants to know, so who exactly wrote our Mishnah if it's not Rabbi Shmuel and it's not Rabbi Akiva? So the Gemara tells us that Amar Rava Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Hi. It's a different opinion. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, the Yom Tov Chamisha, Yom Tov is Chamisha, B'Yom HaKippur is Shisha, and B'Shabbos is Shiva. And ein pochsim hen, there's no less aval mosif and alein divrei Rabbi Shmuel. You can add on to the Shabbos one. So this is consistent. 5, 6, 7 Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos consistent with our Mishnah, and you can add on.
But we know that Yom Tov and Yom Kippur you weren't able to add.
Right. So this line is only going on to Shabbos. When we say ein pochsim hen, aval mosif and alein is only going back on the Shabbos. Right. So it turns out that Rabbi Shmuel, in fact, is the author of Mishnah. Mar says, wait a second, Kasha the Rabbi Shmuel at the Rabbi Shmuel. Before we said Rabbi Shmuel held that you cannot be Mosifin, this Braisa says you can be Mosifin. Two different opinions within Rabbi Shmuel. Mar says, you're right, ein echanami. Shrei Tanoi, I'll leave the Rabbi Shmuel. There's a machlokas Tanoim to what exactly Rabbi Shmuel held. One held that everyone agreed that Rabbi Shmuel held there were 6 aliyahs in Yom Kippur and 7 aliyahs in Shabbos. There was a machlokas, however, they seem to have forgotten or argued as to what he held about being Mosifin on Shabbos. One opinion which our Mishnah says that he allowed you to be Mosifin, and the Braisa above says one cannot be Mosifin on Shabbos. Gemara says, Man Tana La Tana. Who is the author? Who is the Tana that wrote the following Braisa? The Braisa tells that, Spayom Tov Ma'achun Lavo, Umimaharin Lases, on Yantif, they would be delayed in coming to Shul, and they would be hurrying up to come to leave. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says 3 lines from the top. B'yom tov ma'achron lavo. Why were they delayed in coming to shul? The base knesses shetzarach litzarach v'sudas yom tov. They had to prepare the meal before they went out to shul. They had to prepare the meal. Kach mufresh m'saches sofrim. So the mufreshim asks, and particularly Yaakov Emden says, wait a second. It was the men who were supposed to go to the shul, and it's the women who are supposed to be doing all the preparations. So why in the world are the men coming late to shul? They're not doing the preparations. So he says, either they were doing the preparation, the men were helping out, or the men had to watch the children while their wives were busy cooking, so it held the men back from coming to shul as well. Another point that the Primer Gadol points out is, the halacha is, you're not allowed to do any type of malacha before davening. So why were they able to do this before him? So it's brought down, the Mishnah Berurah discusses in regards to Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, they want to go to the marketplace and prepare and go buy things for Shabbos. So he says that it's best to daven first and then go out to shop. But however, if things are not going to be available, or it might be extremely convenient for you to go before davening, there are heterim to go even beforehand, based on this Gemara and Rashi here, that even before the davening they prepared for this Yontif meal, so you can prepare for the Shabbos meal on Erev Shabbos. Says Mishnah Berurah, however, if a person does do this, it's ideal to recite Shema first, so you Mekaba Ol Melechus Shemayim, because it's inappropriate for a person to do his own personal Tzarachim, before doing Tzarach Shemayim. But therefore, a person should say Shema, be Mekaba Ol Melechus Shemayim, then he could do shopping and preparations, and then he could go to Davin. But again, best is to really Davin beforehand. Okay, so that explains why they would come late to Shul and Yom Tif, and they would leave, run out earlier. Why they run out earlier? Rashi explained, to go home and have a suda and to enjoy the meal on Yom Tif. Then back to the Gemara, says, that's for Yom Tif. They would come earlier to davening, and they would leave much later. There's no place for them to go. There's much more davening, of course, and there's no place for them to go to eat, so they spent a lot of time in shul. And on Shabbos, they would come earlier, and they would leave much later. So, Rashi says, "V'Shabbos Maharim Lava." Why would they come earlier? Says Rashi, "Shekfar Tiknu Hakol Merav Shabbos," because there's no preparations to be done. Everything was done Friday. There's no cooking that was allowed, of course. V'Yafal Maharim Biyasin LeKro Shema Kvasikim, and it's ideal for them to come earlier to say Kvasikim. Now there is a Mordechai the Rama brings down in the Halacha, that there's a custom to go late to shul, daven later in Shabbos, as opposed to earlier. This seems to be a very big stira to the Gemara here. The Gemara says they came earlier to catch Vasikim. The Mordechai says they used to come late on Shabbos. I think there's also a Rush that discusses this. So they explain as follows. So one answer is that the Gemara here says they would come earlier, they would come on a Yontif. Yontif, they would come later. They come earlier with respect to a Yontif. But the Mordechai says they would come late with respect to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, they come earlier to davening. Shabbos, they'd come later. So that's why it's really both is true. Depending relative to which day you're talking about, it's both late and it's both early.
This always talking about Shacharis.
It's talking about Shacharis, right. Okay, so either way, the Gemara wants to know who wrote this Bryce here. Why? Because the Gemara says, let's figure this out for a second.
So why would Shabbos
So on Shabbos, they would leave earlier. Yom Kippur, they would leave later. So why did Yom Kippur take longer than Shabbos? Gemara says, well, Lema Rabbi Kiva, this like Gavri Yaseir. Must be Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva held that there's an extra Leah in Yom Kippur. There's 7 Leahs in Yom Kippur, and Shabbos was only 6. That's why they would leave later on Yom Kippur than Shabbos. Yom Kippur had more Leahs. So Gemara says, no, I feel Tamer Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel could have offered this. Shmuel held that there's an extra Leah on Shabbos. You would still leave later on Yom Kippur. Why? Because there's so much more to say in Yom Kippur. Whole Seder Avoda and everything else, all the Piyutim that were saying, Yom Kippur is a much longer davening, irrespective of the fact that Yom Kippur has one less Aliyah. When Gemara wants to know now, Hani Shlosha Chamisha Vishiva Kenegan Mi. The 3 Aliyahs that we read on Chol during the week, regular weekday reading, the 5 Aliyahs that we read on Yom Kippur, and the 7 Aliyahs that we read on Shabbos Kenegan Mi. It's a very strange question. I don't know the answer to it, but there's also times we read 4 Aliyahs, like Rosh Chodesh and Chol Moed, and the times we read 6 Aliyahs, like on Yom Kippur. So I'm not sure why they're only concerned with 3, 5, 7, as opposed to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But either way, the Gemara says there's a machlokis, so Kenegan Mi, who are these corresponding to? Pligi bar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Yechad Dame, one of his partners, one of his chaverim. Yeah.
It says why doesn't it talk
about 4 days? I see Tosus deals with this on the top. Okay. See top Tosus for a second? Hani Shloshim Chamisha, he writes, Kenegan me, Abba B'shisha Shal Yom Kippur, that we don't deal with. Why not the number 6? But Motzi, Adla Kaman, Adla Boy rather, Adla Kaman. We ask that question later on.
Yeah,
okay.
So Kasha
Milo by Mamidalat Rosh Chodesh Kenegan Mi, Mechain Shechol Shemoid. But why don't they ask what is the 4 Aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh Shechol Shemoid? What are those corresponding to? The Shlomo answers Tosos, the Kim late the time of the Musaf Chashiv Letfuyeh Chad Gavra. It's possible that the fact that there's an extra musaf from Rosh Chodesh and Nechol Moed is going to warrant an extra aliyah. Aval l'tvuy kolkach b'Yom Tov, to add so many, to add an extra two aliyahs in Yom Tov, who b'Yom Kippur, who Shabbos lo sfirlei mishim kareis v'skila ilo mishkachan k'neged mi. They wouldn't think to add so many aliyahs unless it corresponded to something more significant. So Gemara explains again, so what is the symbolism of 357? So Gemara says, it's a machlokas, Pligi bar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chad dime, one of his friends, v'chaverim, umani Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Others had the gear says, Armile Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi v'chad dime, mani Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmi. Armile others had is really Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, chadamar bar Nachmani. Okay, so big machlokas, who were the ones who were debating this? But one of these people, chadamar k'neged Birkas Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim has the first bracha is 3 psukim, the second bracha is 5 psukim, and the third bracha is 7 psukim. It corresponds to that. Now, I'm not sure the significance of why that corresponds to Yom Kippur. More interesting than that is the next answer is Chad Amar Keneged Shlosha Shomri Hasaf Chamishim Marei Pnei Melech V'Shiva Roei Pnei Melech 357 different officers of the king. So look at Rashi. Rashi writes Chamishim Marei Pnei Melech V'Shiva Roei Pnei Melech Shiva Haim Kidechsiv Shiva Sari Prasimadai. There are 7 great ministers of the government of Prasimadai. Of them, Yesh Chamisha Chashuvim Kedichsev B'Sof Melachim. Of these 7, there are 5 very important ministers. Shlosha Shomri Hasaf B'Sof Sefer Melachim. The end of Sofim talks about 3 even more important officers. Ukneged Tiknam Anu Elu Main Devar Malchus. Since Kriyas Torah is some level of Malchus, again, I'm not sure what that means exactly, we had to correspond to these different officers of the kings. So Tosus takes issue with Rashi on this. Tosus writes, Shiva Roei Pnei Melech, Perish Bekunshus, this is the second Tosus on the page, the Achashverosh, this is referring to the king, the whole hierarchy of Achashverosh, Vekasha, Lomar Shetiknu Chacham Keneged Inyanosha also Russia. Why would he have the Aliyahs corresponding to the hierarchy that existed in Achashverosh's kingdom? Doesn't make any sense. Lechach Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Osana Ksubim Sefer Yirmiyahu V'Lachim, Ksiv Hashem. It's referring to other psukim, which he finds that also have a similar thing regarding the Malchus of Shemayim. That's much more appropriate than that of Achashverosh. Either way, this is the correspondence of 357. Again, I'm sure there's something deeper beyond my understanding, but I don't know what the deeper explanation is, though. Now, we find ourselves 5 wide lines down. The Gemara says, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught in the Braisa, Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva, 357, Shlosha Shomei Asaf, Chamisha Maria Pnei Melech, Shiva V'Rei Pnei Melech, just like the second opinion of above. So Amar Lei Abaye, At Hidna my time lo parishlan. Mar, up until this point, why didn't Rav Yosef explain to us the reasoning of the 357 of Elias? Amar Lei, Lo Yehav Yodeni, Ditzricha Salalei. I didn't know that you needed me to explain to you what the significance was. Me bais minai milsa v'lami l'cho. Was ever a question you asked me? I didn't answer you. If you should have asked me. I would have answered you. Don't start complaining that I only told you now. Ask a question if you want to know. Samar Yaakov minai l'Rav Yehuda. Yaakov asked Rav Yehuda, Hani shisha yom kippur k'neged me. Okay, what about the number 6? Why is Yom Kippur have 6 aliyahs? Samar le k'neged shisha shamdu mimino shel Ezra. V'shisha mismolam. There are 6 people who stood to the right of Ezra. There are 6 individuals who stood to the left of Ezra. So to correspond to those 6, that's why we have 6 aliyahs. Shenemar v'yamod Ezra ha-sofer al migdal eitz. He stood on the wooden tower. Asher asu l'davar that he had built. It was built for him to speak from a podium, a big podium, to amplify his voice. V'yamod eitzlo next to him was standing. Matis yah shema ag anya uriya v'chelkia omeasa. Ayimino on his right. Umismolo padia mishal malchia v'chashim v'chashvona zichaya mishalim. So there are 6 to the right, 6 to the left. So to correspond to that. Again, I'm not sure the significance of this. So Gemara says, Hani shiva havu. If you do the math, there are actually 7 of them. So right, if you do the ones on the left, it's padia is 1, mishal is 2, machaya is 3, chashim is 4, chashvona is 5, zichaya is 6, mishalim is 7. Gemara says, "Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Mishalim." The last 2 is really the same person. Zechariah Mishalim is the same person. So, Vamai Kari Mishalim. If his name is really Zechariah, why was he called Mishalim? Gemara explains, "The Mishalim beOvdeha." That he was complete in his actions. He was completely Tumim and Shalim. That's why he had the name, this nickname of Mishalim. Okay. Gemara tells us now that Tanur Rabbanan Hakol Olin LeMinyan Shiva. Every single individual can count towards the seven aliyahs on Shabbos. Vafilu katan, even a minor. Vafilu isha, even a woman. Aval amru chachamim isha lo sikra b'tara b'pnei kavod tzibur. But however, when it comes to women, we say best for not to, because kavod tzibur, we don't allow a woman to take part in aliyahs. Okay, but we see Mikra Din, a woman's allowed to, and that's what's, you know, the Pesach, the opening for women, women minyanim, women to read the Torah. It is here, but it's pretty well-established minhag that Misora, that women do not read the Sefer Torah, even though it's only Kavod Tzibur. It's not only Kavod Tzibur. This is a very serious matter. Gemara says further, Ibar Yilhu, Maftir Ma'u Sheyal Minin Shiva. What's the halacha? There's the Maftir. We know on the Shul, we have seven aliyahs in Shabbos, and there's a separate one, the eighth one, it's called Maftir. Does the Maftir count towards the seven? Maybe there should really be six plus Maftir, totaling seven. So you already know the answer to the Gemara, because what we do, but the Gemara tells us anyways, Rav Huna, Rabbi Yimir, Bar Abba, Chadamar Ula, Chadamar Ola rather, Chadamar Ein Ola. One felt that the Maftir does count towards the seven, and one says it does not count towards the seven. And we paskin that it does not. That's why the letter He is found by the second opinion, that Ein Ola, the Maftir, is a separate Aliyah, it's an eighth Aliyah. Gemara says, Man Damar Ola, the one who says it does count towards the Aliyos, the Hakari, because you read it. So if you read it, why wouldn't it count? Mad Dabar Ein Ola, the one who says it doesn't count towards the seven. Kidula, he holds like Ula, Damar Ula, Mipne Maha Maftir Minavi, Tzarech Sheikari B'Torah B'Tchila. Why, when the person who reads a Navi first has to read an Aliyah, just have him read a half Torah, read the Navi. Why does he have to read from the Torah first? Mipne Kavod HaTorah, because Kavod HaTorah. What does it mean, Kavod HaTorah? So look at Rashi. Mipne Kavod HaTorah, this is eight lines from the bottom. Shelo yehe kavod Torah o kavod Navi shava. One should not think that they are equal, Torah and Navi. V'chevin the mishum kavod Torah hu, lo mishum tchova lab minyanahu. So Gemara continues, because why do you have to read it? We don't want the person to think Navi is just as good as Torah. So we make him have to read Torah first before the same guy reads a Navi. We want to say, okay, six, seven guys read the Torah, one guy read the Navi. It's all the same thing. All the Gengalis at different places. So we make the very guy who's reading the Navi first read from the Torah to show that the Torah always comes first, that the Torah is a higher level than that of Navi.
Now, since it doesn't explain the reason that you add Torah.
We don't know why you add half Torah in the first place.
I'm saying this doesn't explain why it's out of the minyan, because he could still be in the minyan and he could read the Torah. Like let's say he gets Shabbos, he gets Shvi, he could read the Torah Shvi and then Maftir. This doesn't explain why.
Right, so look at the next line of Gemara. The purpose is only for Kavod HaTorah. It wasn't for Kriyas HaTorah purposes. It was simply Kavod HaTorah. So it was very secondary, and therefore we didn't make it part of the count. But the purpose of it, again, was so a person shouldn't think that it's just as equal as Torah, so therefore we made the very guy reading Navi first read from the Torah to highlight to us that Torah is a higher level than that of Navi. So the interesting discussion, the Shulchan Aruch talks about that when it comes to different halachas, let's say you have a minyan, starting off with a minyan, and people leave, and you have less than a minyan, you're allowed to start continue going on. So for example, let's say you can't start chazaras hashatz until you have a minyan. Let's say in the middle of chazaras hashatz, a guy leaves, and you have nine guys left. You're allowed to continue whatever inyan you're involved in. And it happens, you could even say the Kaddish after Shemoneh Esrei, because a Kaddish is a continuation of Shemoneh Esrei. Let's say you have an Aliyah, 10 people are there for Kohen, and then between Aliyahs, a guy leaves, you only have 9. You cannot read the next Aliyah of Levi, because that's considered a separate Inyan. But the Chassam Sofer writes, when it comes to Maftir, Maftir is meant as Kavod HaTorah. It's meant to really be an extension of the last Aliyah. So if somebody leaves between Shvi and Maftir, Maftir is considered a continuation of it. You are allowed to say Maftir, even though someone would have left. That's Chassam Sofer Paskin's based on this particular Inyan. Okay, the Gemara now, we're up to three lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Masevi asks the following question. HaMaftir Midnavi lo yifchos me'esim ve'echad psukim. Person who says Maftir cannot read less than 21 psukim. Keneged Shiva Shikaru B'Torah corresponds to the seven aliyahs that we would read. Because again, the whole institution of Haftorah came when I forget who it was, maybe the Romans said we couldn't read Kriyas HaTorah anymore. They said in order to not to forget that the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah, we'll read for the Navi, we'll read seven aliyahs, if you will, of three aliyahs each. So that gives us a total of 21 psukim. So that's where we get this from. Now, Ve'im Isa, if it's true that Maftir was really was separate. Maftir is really an eight aliyah. You can't count it towards a seven. So in essence, you really need seven plus a maftir every single week. That's eight. Emisa esimvar bahavin. You would require 8 times 3, giving it 24 psukim, not 21. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara answers, but you're bothered by came in the Mishum Kavod Torah Havi. Since the whole purpose was not, it wasn't supposed to be an eighth aliyah, it was only simply there for Kavod Torah, therefore connect the Anamil
Abayah. It wasn't even, the question is bigger than that. It's not that it's Kavod Torah, it's that they did maftir because they couldn't do the Torah. When they did the takana of maftir, there wasn't maftir before, so there were only 21 psukim.
That's historically what's going on. It's a great question. What happened was they used to only have seven aliyahs.
Right.
Then they said you can't read the Torah, so they said okay, no more Torah. We're gonna read 21 psukim of Haftorah because it's mile after the seven. The maftir didn't exist yet.
At that point, when they decided there wasn't an eighth aliyah.
That's a really good question.
Maybe it goes up for that moment.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Nobody else.
Okay, good question. Time's at 6:30. Okay, there comes some toasting to do here. Not sure if we have time for it though. Let's see. Let's look to the bottom of Tosas for a second. Of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the very last Tosas, the Yomasal Kevan. I just pull out a very interesting Indian here on the bottom. The bottom of that Tosfos, where it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom.
Okay.
First word in the line is Minag Rashi Rabosa Rabbeinu Tam. Right after that, Tosas asks the following question. Again, 5 lines up. V'ho, shein motin shtei sifrei Torahs b'chol ha-shabbosos, l'kro b'shnayim, v'yom ha-shabbos, moshos m'yomtif. So, every yomtif, we know, we read a special haftorah related to the yomtif. So, every single Shabbos, we should read the carbon of Shabbos. V'yom ha-shabbos, shnei chvasim v'chulei, in Parshas Pinchas. Why don't we do that, asks Tosas. Tosas says, nir lefi shein v'parsha el shnei psukim. Very technical reason. The halacha is, we saw already in the Masechta, that we never read an aliyah less than 2 psukim. Since Shabbos only has 2 psukim, so you cannot read that. You can't start reading the parsha beforehand. Again, I'm not really sure why not, because the parsha beforehand was Karban Tamid, which is very relevant to every single day. All the sign of parsha Shlamatim, and you can't read the next parsha, which is Rosh Chodesh, because that's really nothing to do with Shabbos. That one makes sense. They're nothing to do with the day. Now, I don't really get why it's not part of the day. Carbon Talmud is certainly part of the day.
I guess it's for every day, not Shabbos special.
I guess, but the Gemara in Zvachim tells us that Carbon Talmud on Shabbos becomes different. Even the Carbon Talmud has an elevated Kedusha when it coincides with Shabbos. But V'yodi Shalmer, another reason, says Tosfos, is Shifisha Tzarech L'Hafti B'chol Shabbos Minyan Shayom. Every single day, every single Shabbos, you have to be related somehow to the Minyan Shayom. If you carry in Bishal Shabbos, if you read Shal Shabbos every single week, Imkeni Yitzarach L'Haftir B'Tesalik Minei, you have to always read Maftir has something to do with the laying of the Megillah, laying of the of the Torah. V'Hainu B'Shabbos, Imkeni Yehi Kol Haftaros Minan Echad. What happens? It ends up being all the Inyanim of the whole year all the same, and that's somehow Tosas is not comfortable with. I'm not sure why he's not comfortable with that. But it has to be each Haftar is supposed to be somewhat unique. This wouldn't be unique. So the first answer is because technical reasons, because it's only 2 psukim. The second reason, because it's not going to be unique, it's going to be so boring and bland, so they didn't permit that. And then the third answer of Tosos is V'yode Shlomar Fisha Li Olam Ein Korn B'Sefer Torah Shnei B'Karbanos Sheni B'Karbanos Ela Bosin Shibban L'Kapara. We only read the Karbanos when those Karbanos are meant to be for Kapara. So each of these answers are very, very interesting. Each require a lot of explanation. But just throwing out that this is a well-known Tosos found in Megillah, it's worthwhile being familiar with it. Okay. Says the Gemara now. So we're up to the top line now. We're still in the midst of the discussion about whether to towards the seven Aliyahs or not. So the Gemara says, Maskev l'Rava, Rava asks, Harei olosechem safu l'havi esim echad. So we said above that Bryce Navi told us that there were 21 psukim in every single haftarah, but we have a haftarah of olosechem it's referred to. I'm not sure which parsha we read this on, but this has less than 21 psukim. Shiny hasan de salak inyano. So the Gemara says that's because the whole discussion, the story is over then. It took less than 21 psukim. Ideally, we want 21 psukim, but sometimes when the haftarah is, the inyan is less, so we have less than 21 psukim. No different than we had the other day by Avo Amalek. The parsha of Amalek, which only has 9 psukim, doesn't fit to the normal 10 psukim. Sometimes we have exceptions. Parsha Tzav. Okay. V'heicha de'lo salik inyana lo. So, when the parsha does not end, do we not read less than? It's only when the parsha ends we read less, but when the parsha does not end, the topic doesn't end, we read 21 psukim. V'hamar Rav Shmuel bar Abba zimnin sagin havi kamina kamid Rabbi Yochan. Many times I was in front of Rabbi Yochan. He would only read 10 psukim, even though the whole story wasn't over yet. Amarlein, afsiki makom, sheyesh targumim shiny. He said to us, oh, stop. After 10 psukim, he said, stop. So we see, so how could it be? How could we read less than 21 psukim? The answer is, makom sheyesh targumim shiny. A place where the targumim is different, because it would take much longer. They'd do the targumim of the of the Navi, so it would be 10 psukim in Hebrew, and then 10 psukim of Targum, even though it wasn't quite 21 psukim, it still took much longer. The Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel, Lo Shano El B'Makom Shein Targumim. The only time that we have the 21 psukim institution of Navi is when there is no Targumim. Of B'Makom Sheish Targumim Posek, but when there is a Targumim, we stop after 10. And Rashi explained, because there's a Tzircha de Tzibra, so I'm not sure why they stopped after 10 psukim. They should have done 11 psukim of Hebrew, and then there would have been 11 psukim of Targum, that would have been 22. Instead, they went for the 20. Okay. Right. So Rat, look at the top Tosos. He says, "Lo shanu ela shebamakom shein mitargumim." It's only true in a place where there's no targum that you have 21 psukim. Valze anu somchin. That's what we rely on. That shein anu mitargumim haftaros shebechol yumos hashana v'chein haparshas. For this reason, we have this. This is what we're somich on. Meaning, why is it that we don't do any targumim like they used to? Not in the Torah, not in the Navi. Because the Bryce of the Gemara tells us here that there were cities back then who had a custom not to do Targumim anyways. And since our Gemara tells us what the halacha is, that there's 21 psukim in a Navi, that's the Takana. That tells us that was in a place where there's no Targumim. Because in a place where there was a Targumim, you don't need 21 psukim. Since the halacha is you need 21 psukim, that tells us there is no din of Targumim, and that's what we rely on, and not having any Targumim during Haftorah and Chumash. Okay, we have now the new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that ain porsin al shema, there's going to be a whole list of things. I'll tell you the end, because it's not going to make sense unless we know the end. The following lists cannot be done with less than 10 people. You need a minyan for all the following things listed in the Mishnah. What are they? Ain porsin al shema. Now, porsin al shema is a very confusing topic. It's a difficult simon in Shulchan Aruch. Big machlokes of what exactly it is. Let's just read Rashi. We'll go to Rashi's interpretation. Rashi says, ain porsin al shema, minyan habal lebeis knesses. You have a minyan that enters the shul. La'achar shakarat tibras shema. The minyan already exists. They said Shema. And this is a very small shul. There's only one minyan. You walk in, there's one room. And they already said Shema. So what's this new minyan of people who just walked in late? What are they supposed to do? Omer Echad, one of the guys for the new minyan, goes to the front. Omer Kaddish, he says Kaddish. Everyone stops, even the people who already said Shema. He says Kaddish out loud. Baruch Hu, this is a support for the Nusach Sfar. Nusach Sfar says Kaddish before Baruch Hu. Ashkenaz, we don't. So you say Kaddish, and then you say Baruch Hu. Ubrach Rishon Shema. You say the first Baruch of Shema. And then porsin is lashon chatzi davar. You say half that out loud, and then you continue going on with the rest of the tzibur. No, this. Oh, I assume this is talking about marv actually. Okay, maybe it's talking about shachas. Okay, maybe you're probably right. Actually, I'm not sure why I assumed marv. You're probably right. Okay, so talking about shachas. So he would do this. He would say shachar. He would say kaddish baruch hu in the first bracha of shema, and that's all he would say. And then they would pick up with they try to catch up quickly to the tzibur that already existed. And again, there's a big machlokus exactly what others think porcelain is something else. But whatever this porcelain is, which is something that we don't do nowadays, it needs 10 people. Then the next thing the Mishnah lists is vein over in lifnei ateva, that you cannot have a shliach tzibur. Rashi says you can't do chazaras hashatz less than 10 people. Ein nosen es kapeim, you need a minion to do birkas kohanim. Vein korn b'torah, you need 10 to read the Torah. Vein maftim b'navi, you also need 10 even for the navi. Vein osen mamid moshav, what's mamid moshav? So Rashi says ein osen mamid moshav, this refers to a mace. When somebody dies, kishinosin es hamace lekavro, when you carry the mace to bury it, hayu yoshun shiva pamin levichos es hamace varotzel lesof to yisbot. You would sit 7 times. I'm not familiar with this custom, but you would sit 7 times to cry over the mace, and those who would want to eulogize could eulogize. V'hachi tani in the Gemara Basra in pochsim es shiva ma'amados. There's no less than 7 standings. In moshava standing, 7 standing, 7 sitting ups. Again, I'm not familiar with what this is referring to. If you go in amdi yikarim amud es shiva yikarim shivu. Okay. But this is the basis that when there's a big inyan, that when people go to a cemetery to have a minyan, that's ideal to have a minyan when burying someone. Then the Mishnah says, Ve'ein birchas aveilim. You can have less than a minyan for birchas aveilim. I'll explain what birchas aveilim refers to. V'tanchume aveilim. And Rashi says this refers to tanchume aveilim is kishechozim min akvaros, when they return back from the cemeteries, omdim menachem es ha'evel. They would stand and do nichma veilim, the people of the aveilim would pass through the lines. Vein shur pchus me'asar, you shouldn't have less than 10 people on this line, as the avel, which is our custom, passes, leaves from the kever, goes back into the cars, heading home.
This is what we do now, that people stand
up. Exactly.
So you need 10.
Yeah, you need 10. Right. Vein, furthermore, ubirchas chasanim, shever brachos, also requires 10 people.
This is under the chuppah, or in general?
This is in general. Remember when my brother got married, we had a whole nice little party. My cousin's house, a whole sushi party. A lot of people were there. And then we realized we only had 9 men. A lot of women were there. But we only had 9 men. And we raised, okay, let's bench now. And then we started counting. And said, wait a second. There are only 9 men here. We can't say shav brachos. And once you say, let's bench, you're not allowed to eat anymore. The benching's over. So I wasn't sure if you're allowed to, if we invite someone over now to be part of the meal, or the meal's over, he can't be part of the meal.
Right.
So I remember I called her Willow late. It was a late Matzah Shabbos. And he himself wasn't entirely sure. He looked it up, and he said, one cannot, benching, our meal is over, and since Shev Brachos is only, it's a nice thing, it's not required, not to invite anybody. We had a whole big Shev Brachos. We didn't even do Shev Brachos, though. But you need a minion. Well, we had a meal, right? A meal, and a good, nice sushi making, right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the Gemara said, then when the Mishnah tells us, if aim is zamnin b'shem pachas me'asara, if you want to say baruch elokeinu when it comes to benching, you need to, with shem Hashem, you require a minyan. U'birkarkos, birkarkos tisha, the kohen vadam kiyotzi behen. When it comes to karkos, it refers to, Rashi says, birkarkos shel hektish. When you have karka, land that is hektish, haba liftos, and a person wants to redeem them, tzarech asar ve'echad mehem kohen. You need 10 people to assess the value of it, to know how much money you're supposed to dedicate to the base of Migdash to redeem your fuel. So you need 10 people, one of which must be a Kohen. The Gemara is going to explain the source for that. So the Gemara says, what's the source of each of these things? How do we know this? That in general, there's a concept of 10 people. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, the Pasuk tells us, B'nikdashi b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be sanctified within Klal Yisrael, was b'soch min, so anything that's davar shekedusha that's going to be nikdashi has to be at least 10 people. Well, my mashma, how do you learn that from the pasuk? 10 people from the pasuk of Besoch Bnei Yisrael. The Tani Rabbi Chira Asya Toch Toch Ksiv Hacha v'nikdashi Besoch Bnei Yisrael. It's written here, as we just said, the word Toch. Uksiv Hasam, it's written elsewhere. Hivdilu Mitoch Ha'ida. This is referring to Korach. Separate them from the Eida. V'asya Eida Eida, and there's an Eida, another Gzeh Shava, from Korach to the Eida, Dechsib Hasam, Ad Masay Le Eida Ra HaZos, referring to Meraglim. So, Ma Lahalan Asara, Afkan Asara. Just like Meraglim, there were 12 Meraglim, but only 10 of them were bad, because Yeshua and Kalev were good, but Tzadikim.
What's the question, my Masha?
My Masha means, how do you imply, how do you infer, rather, from the Pesukim of Nikdashi B'soch B'nei Yisrael, that you need 10 people from Mekadashim Shemayim? So, Gzeh Shava Toch, from Eida, from Korach Toch. And then Eida by Korach is another Gzeir Shava from Eida by Meraglim. So by Meraglim, the Eida Ra was 10 people, 10 bad Meraglim. So you have 10 now by Korach. And then from Toch, you have 10 applying to Nikdashi. So you learn from all this that you're supposed to have 10 people for Kedusha. So a few interesting things. There's a very interesting where Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that when it comes to minyan, anybody can be a minyan. Why? Because the source of minyan comes from ragam. Ragam or risham. Initially they're tzaddikim, but they ended up being risham at the end of the day. So anybody can really count as a minyan. You can have an am haaretz, a person who's not keeping the Torah mitzvahs. He can be part of the minyan. I once asked Rav Shechter about this. He wasn't so comfortable with his rye that Rav Moshe brought. He thought you can't just have anybody be a minyan. You have to someone who was somewhat firm to be part of the minyan.
Rav Weinberger once said a good story that somebody, that there was somebody, that, I don't know which Rav, went to Daven, I think Mincha was, and there were only 10 people, but there was one, even worse than Amherst, I think he knew that he was the Parhesia. And so he went and he said, no, we should get an 11th one. So the guy came to the Rav and he says, you know what, he says, even, you know, you see that Bakadi Ketores, Helbana, smells very bad, and we still count it. So he said, yeah, but that's a little 11.
Yeah. Funny. So that's the halacha about a minyan. Now this concept of minyan is interesting. There's a Gemara in Brachas that talks about there's an issur to free an eved. Not allowed to free an eved, but the Gemara talks about Rabbi Elazar freed his eved once to make a minyan. The Gemara says, how are you allowed to free an eved? There's an issur deraisa to free, so to make a minyan. So the Mepharshim say, but what do you mean? How could you violate the issur deraisa freeing to create a minyan? A minyan only then the Rabbanim. The Rush in the back tries to say, oh, maybe because they're laying Parshas Zachar. Parshas Zachar is a minyan deraisa. Then in the end he says, no, because saying Davar Shabbat Kedusha B'minun is a Kiyum Deraisa, based on this Gemara here, that there's a Kiyum Deraisa. So he was, by him being by freeing his Eved, he was Mash from the Minyan, creating this Din Deraisa. So it's a Deraisa for a Deraisa. The Gemara says, V'ein osin ma'amin Moshe pachs me'asara. You don't do this Din of sitting and standing when it came to the Beis Kvaros, less than the Minyan. Came into by the Meimar Amdu Yukarim, Amudu, Shivu, Yukarim, Shivu, Bats Miasara Lav Archara. So since you're telling, what exactly is this going on here? Somehow it's not appropriate to say less than 10 people. So, Rashi says lav arahu. He says latriach shliach lechach lukrosan yikarim dimkein ma'hanachas lemrubin. Inappropriate to refer to just a few people who you're telling to sit and stand up, and to which is supposed to be a very chashuv thing. Less than 10 people is not very 5 people to sit and stand. What does it do about to the rest of the tzibur? You need to choose 10 people. It's more significant. Again, I'm not really getting this. Anything further in the article that explains?
It says if we were to say less than 10 and call them Yukarim, then what would you call 10?
Uh-huh.
And once you got to 10, you would have to come up with a new term.
Uh-huh.
Rashi seems to say, well, what would it be?
But no other term.
More important than calling them Yukarim.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So then the Gemara says, "Vein omrin birchas avelim birchas chasanim." You need 10 people to do birchas avelim. So my birchas avelim, so birchas avelim says the Gemara is birchas rechava, a bracha that was recited in rechava in the streets. Damer Reb Yitzchak, Amar Reb Yochanan, birchas avelim basara, vein avelim in aminin. That the birchas avelim took place in the street. The Gemara is in Moikatan discusses, and the avel does not take part of this. Why is it? Why is the avel not part of the minyan? You need 10 plus him. Says Rashi, "Ein avelim min haminin, sharei hu omer bracha lemnachmim b'fnei atzman." He says a bracha to the people who are menachem him as follows: Achinu bal ha-gamul yishalim lachem gamulchem. Kadosh Baruch Hu should return back the favor to you. Atov gamulchem atov bracha Hashem yishalim ha-gamul. So ulavelim b'fnei atzman achinu bal nechamos yinachem eschem bracha Hashem nachem avelim veinu kol miyachad. So and they give a bracha to the avelim. So they were. It played different roles. The menachem were one side, the avelim were someone else. So two different brachas. He wasn't relevant for the bracha. So you needed a separate, he had to be separate from the minyan because they were playing a different function than he was, serving a different function than he was. Now the Gemara says, further, well, birchas chasanim ba'asara, birchas chasanim min haminyan. In this case, when it comes to birchas chasanim, the shev brachos, here we do count the chasanim as part of the minyan, as opposed to the case of avelim. Gemara doesn't explain why, but I think the Gemara in Ksubas does discuss why in this case, Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Veim ezamnin al hamazon b'shem pachas me'asara." You can't say Shem Hashem when reciting benching with less than 10 people. Kaven the by the member and devarach le'lokenu, but me'asara lav aruch ara. Since you're mentioning Hashem's name, it's inappropriate not derech eretz to say it less than 10 people. So therefore, you need 10 people. Hakakaros tisha the kohen va'adam kiyotzi behem. When it comes to evaluating the land that was made hektish, you need 10 people, and a kohen must be among them. How do we know this? So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel explains, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Parsha. In this very Parsha that discusses the hektish and evaluating the land, it says Kohanim 10 times. So Chav Legufe, so one you need for the Pasuk itself to tell me you need a kohen. V'idach Havimid Achamid, Vein Min Achamid Ela L'Rabos Tisha Yisraelim V'chai Kohen. So let's see Rashi for this drasha here. Rashi says, "Kohanim k'suvim." The parshas hektishos. In that parsha, talking about hektish, shlosha be'erchin, shlosha be'behem over arba b'karkos. Three talks about erchin when you value some type of object. Shlosha three by an animal, and four it says by a karka that totals 10. V'chaim de mishal make where you need 10 people. So so you need one kohen to tell me you need a kohen. Then it says kohen 9 more times, so it's very limiting, only kohen. So the concept is, ein min achamin el rabos. When you have one limiting word, followed by another limiting word, that comes with it to include. So each time you're including Yisrael, you're being more expansive, who qualifies? So the Gemara says, so that's why you have a total of 10 people, but you don't only have to have a kohanim, you have enough to have just one kohen. The rest, we're learning to have anybody, even a Yisrael. Gemara says, wait a second, maybe v'ema chamisha kohanim, v'chamisha Yisraelim, Kasha. Maybe there should be 5 and 5. Why should be 5 and 5? The Gemara says, "Ve'ema chamisha kohanim chamisha yisraelim came into time of mishum mir achar mir." Who? Actually, she'ena mir achar mir. The third one isn't. You do the calculations as follows: the first one's a kohen. Then you have number two, number three. That one after the next that comes to really include Yisrael. Then the fourth one should be again standing alone. Should be a kohen. And then you should have mir achar mir. You should keep going back and forth, taking turns. So it shouldn't be like 1, 9 in a row of Mir Achamir. It should be coupled separately. So since it's not separate, then it really should be 5 and 5. Of course, I don't have a good answer for you. It's Akasha. Now, there's an interesting Tosas here. Tosas writes in the Dibur Maskil of Asara, a very small one. It's an important one, though. He says, Asara b'Kohanim Kashali. Amaylo boy echad Asara. There should really be 11. De'ein beistin shakal b'chol davar shu tala v'sha'omi b'shikal das. We never have a beistin that is less than, you always need an odd number. You need, based in shakel means, ain based in shakel. You can never have an equal bezin. You can never have an even number. Always have to be odd in order to tip the scale. So why here is it different? Why here do we have specifically 10? This is what the Farshim say. The Rashba says something. I'm not remembering what it is, though. The Rashba says, I think the point is that this is very different than a normal court case. I mean, it's not a real typical basin where the guy is either right or he's wrong or who pays who what. This is just evaluating a number.
But
so
still, maybe you have 5 who say this amount and 5 who say this amount.
But when it comes to amounts, it's really infinite amount. So adding an odd person could only complicate. And the more people have, the more, I think it's 10. I think it's $10.50. I think it's $11. It could be any number you want. It's not either, right or wrong. So when
it
comes,
you know how it was decided between everybody?
I don't know how the process was, but it's not. If there are two options, I understand the need for an odd number, but there's more than two options. Anything's really a possibility. So the question of Tosa that he says there should be an equal basin really comes onto something else. There's a machlokas in general that we have a basin of 3, a basin of 23. The concept of not having a basin shakel, is that for practical reasons, in order to tip the scale? Or is that part of the definition of a basin is defined by always having an odd number? This is a big machlokas in Rishonim. Is a Rav Jolti has a beautiful discussion about this. So they explain as follows. The Tosfos here thinks that not having a basin shakel, meaning having an odd basin, is a definition of basin. Nothing to do with being practical or not. A basin is defined by having an odd number of people on it. That's why he said, I don't know the answer to this. And I think the Rashi responds, no. Basin shakel is only when you have to tip the scale, when you need to get to an answer. But something like this, it's not part of the definition of a basin. It's just when you need it for practical reasons. Here you have 10 people, you could come to a conclusion without having an odd guy there, because it's hard still, but you don't need the odd guy to tip the scale. But as I said, because
also one more raya that it doesn't say that based in is 10 people, it just says that it's because of the psukim. So it's not really a based in.
Whoever said this is a basin anyways, right?
What?
Whoever said this is
it would be basin, it would be the riyah of 10 times kohen, it wouldn't come. It would be a whole different, it has
right.
to be a different limud. The fact that it says 10 times means that it's not a basin that we need
right.
10 because of the psukim.
Right,
because
we never find a 10-person basin anywhere. Okay, so this becomes, I remember we did this in Sanhedrin with Rav Rodenzweig. We did the whole sugyas of how to set up a core system, so we spent a little bit of time in the Gemara here, the Tosas, and I think there's a Rashba here as well. Okay. The last few lines of the Gemara before the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Adam Kiyotzi Behem. So what does it mean, Adam Kiyotzi Behem? We said again, the Karka requires 10 people, one of which has to be a Kohen. What does it mean, Adam Kiyotzi Behem? Says the Gemara, Adam Mi Kadosh. So there's a person become Kadosh. So the Mishnah seems to say is, when you're evaluating, when you're assessing the value of a person who is Hekdesh, you also need 10 people to assess his value, and one of them be Kohen. Tosas Gemara says, rather, that there's a person become Kadosh. I'm Rabbi Elbo, Omer, when a person says, not that he's Hekdesh, but my value, the value of me, is going to be dedicated to the Hekdesh. In such a case, then you need to attend people. The Tanya, Ha'omer, Dmei Allah, the Hekdesh corresponding to his value, so then he has to assess himself as if he was an Eved who's being sold in the marketplace. The Eved is Kish L'Karkos, and we know an Eved is connected to Karka in general. It's Migbach Lokus, whether Eved is Kimital Tali Dami or Kimakakari Dami. Gemara that appears in Baba Kama, Baba Basra, and elsewhere, is Evan more like Metalton because he moves, or is Evan more like Karka? So the Gemara here postulates he's more like a Karka. The Resh Achuza that the Evid should be viewed as a Nachla, an Evid is going to be compared to Karka, that it gets passed on from generation to generation. So just like an Evid, just like a Karka rather, you need 10 people to evaluate, so too an Evan, or at least this person who's being valued like an Evid, it should require 10 people as well. Okay, so just very interesting that Tosas points out that the Bam Tosas Shaman Osok Evid Ve'Evid Hiskish LeKarkalos Tichsiv Hisnachaltim Osam, that an Evid is compared to a Karka. So Tosas writes Mashma the Evid Ivri Hiskish LeKarkalos. Then Evid Ivri. Normally, when you say that Evid Hukish LeKarka, that Evid is connected to a Karka, this passage refers to an Evid Kanani when you hold a non-Jewish Evid. Here we're talking about a Jew who takes it upon himself. So all a Jew could be, a Jew can never be an Evid Kanani. He can only be an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave. So we see from here that even an Eved Ivri, Tosa points out, is connected to a Karka. He says apparently the Gemara and Kedushin seems to indicate the same thing. So Tosa continues and says, V'hachanami mashram perakam de Kedushin. Disha havalei nechasim sheish l'machrayos. That a woman is considered a property that has achrayos. Now, property that has achrayos really refers to a Karka, not to a movable object. So Tosas points out here, it sounds like from the Gemara tradition, that even in Isha, Mishum Eved is Kish Lekarka. Because since a woman could be like an Eved, so in Eved Ivri, but talking about a Jewish woman, she's also a Jewish woman, could be compared to a Karka. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense. Ask Tosas Fakasha, Dainu Dafka Eved Kanani Dalek Sivkra Vidin Sachaltem. Only an Eved Karka. That's what the Pasuk Vidin Sachaltem is referring to. It's referring to an Eved Kanani, not an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri lo matzini klal the iskish lekarka. Never do we find anywhere that Eved Ivri, that a Jewish slave or a Jewish woman is compared to a karka. So vaday lekarka vaday. So vaday ha'i kedushin yesh litchos k'the pirshus sham aval hachakasha. Somehow he deals with it. How somehow elsewhere that you get around it. But the Gemara here seems to be problematic. They were connecting Eved Ivri to karka. Okay, all right. So we'll stop here.